Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Green Metropolis by David Owen is a nonfiction environmental argument published in 2009 that challenges conventional ideas about what makes places sustainable. Rather than praising rural living or low-density suburban development, Owen argues that dense cities are often environmentally superior because they reduce per capita energy use, encourage walking and public transit, and require less land and infrastructure. The book is built around a contrarian thesis: the greenest patterns of American life are not found in the countryside, but in places like Manhattan, where people tend to live in smaller spaces, rely less on cars, and consume fewer resources overall. Written for general readers, the book combines journalism, environmental commentary, and urban analysis. Its purpose is not simply to celebrate cities, but question common assumptions about ecological virtue, and to show how settlement patterns shape sustainability more than consumer gadgets or isolated lifestyle choices. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, density as an environmental advantage, not a liability. The central claim of Green Metropolis is that high-density urban life can be more sustainable than dispersed suburban or rural living. Owen argues that crowded cities often use fewer resources per person because housing is smaller, shared walls reduce heating and cooling needs, and streets, utilities, and civic services are distributed more efficiently. This reverses a familiar cultural assumption that open space and low density are inherently greener. In Owen's framework, land consumption matters as much as direct energy use when development spreads outward. It requires more roads, pipes, parking, and built infrastructure, all of which expand environmental cost. Dense cities compress daily life into a smaller physical footprint, and that compression lowers emissions and material demand. The book therefore treats density not as an urban problem to be solved, but as one of the main mechanisms through which sustainability can be achieved. This is a major conceptual shift because it asks readers to evaluate cities by systemic efficiency rather than by visual impressions of congestion or pollution. Secondly, living smaller housing size, shared walls, and lower household demand, Owen gives unusually strong attention to housing scale and its connection to environmental impact. A smaller dwelling generally requires less energy to heat, cool, light, furnish, and maintain, and it also encourages lower levels of consumption overall. In dense urban settings, apartments and row houses often replace detached homes, which means residents occupy less space and share more infrastructure with neighbors. Shared walls are especially important because they reduce exposed surface area, which improves thermal efficiency. The book's argument is not that all small homes are automatically green, but that smaller living spaces tend to be associated with lower resource demand across daily life. Owen also connects housing size to consumer habits, suggesting that larger homes often encourage accumulation of more appliances, more goods, and more energy-intensive routines. In that sense, living smaller is both a physical and behavioral principle. It is one of the book's most concrete claims because it shows how sustainability begins inside the home, not only through public policy or technological upgrades. The underlying logic is that reduced living space can be a structural form of conservation. Thirdly, driving less as the decisive step in reducing fossil fuel dependence. A major strand of the book is its emphasis on transportation, especially the environmental burden created by automobile dependence. Owen argues that driving less matters more than many high-profile green fixes, because transportation consumes a large share of petroleum use and generates substantial emissions. Dense cities make it easier to walk, bike, or use public transit because destinations are closer together and daily errands do not require long car trips. This is not presented as a moral preference for urban life, but as an efficiency argument about how proximity changes behavior. When people live near work, stores, schools, and services, they have fewer reasons to burn fuel. Owen uses this principle to contrast Manhattan-style urbanism with sprawling development, where even routine tasks require car travel. The book's broader point is that transportation policy and land use policy are inseparable. The built environment shapes travel behavior long before individual choices enter the picture. By centering driving less, Green Metropolis reframes sustainability as a matter of mobility design, not just cleaner engines or greener consumer products. Fourthly, a critique of green consumerism and technological substitutes, Green Metropolis is also a critique of the idea that sustainability can be achieved mainly through gadgets, boutique purchases, or symbolic lifestyle upgrades. Owen is skeptical of the belief that solar panels, hybrid cars, or expensive eco-friendly accessories can compensate for inefficient settlement patterns. His argument is that demand reduction is more powerful than trying to offset excess consumption after the fact. If people live in dense areas, use transit, and occupy smaller homes, they create less environmental strain before any technology is added. This makes the book especially pointed in its criticism of suburban green branding. where affluent households may adopt visible environmental products while continuing high consumption habits. Owen does not dismiss technology entirely, but he places it in a secondary role compared with basic structural choices about where and how people live. This makes the book intellectually distinctive within environmental writing, because it challenges the consumer-oriented version of sustainability that focuses on purchasing greener objects. The real lever, in his view, is not greener stuff but less resource-intensive behavior embedded in urban form. Lastly, provocation, limitations, and the use of Manhattan as a model. The book is notable not only for its argument, but also for its argumentative style. Owen writes as a deliberate contrarian, pushing against pastoral ideals and environmental rhetoric that treats cities as ecological failures. That forcefulness is part of the book's appeal, but it also creates limitations. Manhattan functions as Owen's emblematic example because it makes the case for density vividly. Yet the city is also unusually wealthy, developed, and infrastructurally distinctive, which means it cannot be treated as a universal template. Critics have noted that the book can sound categorical and that it sometimes narrows the question of sustainability too much toward one urban model. Even so, this limitation helps clarify the book's real contribution. It is less a complete urban planning manual than a powerful corrective to simplistic anti-city thinking. By using Manhattan as a case study, Owen shows how a dense metropolis can outperform more spacious alternatives on energy and emissions metrics, while also inviting debate about how different cities might adapt the same principles. The result is a book that is as much a challenge to assumptions as it is a set of policy recommendations. In conclusion, Green Metropolis is best suited for readers interested in environmental policy, urban planning, climate communication, and the practical relationship between land use and resource consumption. It is especially valuable for readers who assume that sustainability mainly means buying better products or preserving more open land. Owen offers a sharper and more structural argument where people live, how far they travel, and how much space they occupy can matter more than many popular green gestures. That makes the book useful both intellectually and practically, because it redirects attention from symbolic environmentalism to the everyday mechanics of settlement patterns. Compared with many books in the sustainability genre, it stands out for its clarity, its contrarian premise, and its focus on density as an environmental asset rather than a problem. It does not present a broad theory of ecological politics. Instead, it advances a specific, memorable challenge to American assumptions about sprawl, urban living, and car dependence. Readers looking for a concise but forceful rethinking of what green living actually means will find it especially rewarding. If you would like to support David Owen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.